Be so happy, Father, to be together, Lord. Father, we know any gathering that you're not there is not a gathering, Lord. And we know, Father, that you promised you'd be in our midst. And you don't fail your word, Lord. We are human beings. We fail many times, Lord. But you don't. Yes, sure, you're here, Father. And Lord, we want to take over the meeting back to you, Lord. Father, to take for your eminence. Father, speak to the heart of the people. I pray, Father, that you take me out of this place, Lord, that I'm before the people, Father. And Lord, come start and speak yourself to the people, to the people's hearts, Lord. We know that a man can talk, Lord. But he said, let every man's word be a lie, but your word, and only your word, be the truth, Lord. It is when we speak, Father, that we feed. It is when we speak, Lord, that we feel, Lord God, that we are communing with our Father. Today, Father, we pray, Father, that you give us a good communion. We pray, Father, that you serve the table, Lord. You know how, Father, to do it. You can take your words, Lord, even simple words, Lord, and interpret them, Lord, and put them where they belong, to every heart. And people are different. People understand differently. But you know how to deal with every individual, Lord. You know how to feed your children, Lord. We therefore, Father, surrender ourselves to you, that you feed us now. Take over the meeting, Lord. There's something I heard, Lord, that Mark and them, maybe that church are having some COVID or something. Whatever it is, Lord, we commit it to you, Father. We pray for them. We pray, Father, that you have mercy upon them, Lord. Thank you for everything that you do to us, Lord. They're so great things, Lord. You've been so a good Father, Lord. And we're here with thanksgiving in our hearts, Father, to you because of that. There might be some needs in our midst, Lord. Whatever it is, Lord, we commit the needs of the people to you, Father. Take charge, Lord, and have mercy upon your people now. As we get seated now to hear from you, we commit ourselves to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. You can get seated. This is just another great day, and I'm really very, very happy. Mera Senior, thank you for playing that piano so well. Thank you, and may God bless you. I'm so thankful again to see Grandma here. These are my family. And you don't know how much I sometimes miss you. And I've not seen Sarah for a long time, and I love that family. I've not been very much with Mark, but a few times we met, we've been together, and I love him so much. And is he having COVID or something? Or the church have COVID? He had it. Oh, I'm so sorry about that. May the Lord take care of him. I'm also very much happy to see Sister Mother. I've not seen you for a long time. And the other day I was to bring the children to you, but Mom told me she had an appointment to bring them, so I said that's okay. And I really miss you guys, and may God bless you. Thank you. Thank you very much. This topic was supposed to... Sister Esther who asked me this question, and I told her, do you want me to explain it to you? And I thought it's very easy to explain, but I said, do you want me to preach it? And she said, you can preach it. But now, Sister Esther, I'm finding it's not something that we can finish one day, and it's a very long topic, and I would like to go with it slowly by slowly whenever you have time. If you don't, that's okay, because everything is on the hands of God. Now, I would like to maybe apologize on... for the Wednesday, I had to give the report. You know, I'm not used to giving reports when I'm from a mission to work and come back. I'm not used to that, but it's a good something that people here do, and it's good. So sometimes we talk things that, you know, human is to error, and sometimes I feel like maybe if I said anything that you think somebody thinks that was not supposed to be said or something, May you please forgive me. Sometimes I'm very nervous. I'm a very nervous man, and sometimes sometimes you can slide something that you don't want to, and slides in there. I don't know, but I'm not saying I did. But if I did, if something happens like that, I would like please to for everybody to forgive me for that. I don't hold myself as somebody who is an orator. I'm not an orator. I don't know how to speak. That's why here you have a habit of when somebody's coming to lead the songs, somebody comes here, and that's good. That's a very good thing. And they have really tried to make me come here, and I'm shy. When I'm not preaching, I'm very shy. But I think they have understood that, and they have let me know how to do it. So I like the song leader come here. And I don't like here. I'm a very nervous man. I don't like here. And I don't know why God does not take it when he called me to pray. I don't know why. Because I thought he should have taken it, but he doesn't want to take it away. I mean, that condition of nervousness. So I don't like being before people, kind of everybody looking at me like it's me. I'm very nervous on that. So I'm also, there are some people, maybe I don't know where they're listening in. I'm sure they're not. some people who came to my house, and I'm very thankful to them, just in case they happen to listen to this tape or something. I'm very thankful to them for the gifts they brought to my children, and they brought some. And it's very—I don't know how things go, because I think something happened in school. Because when we came out with the man from my house, he told me, "This is the track that is broke." I said, "Yes, it was broke, but I fixed it. We fixed it, and it's running now." So I think it was something in school. I don't know why I'm saying this, but what I just said, because it's come to my mind. I think it's something in school, and they had to pick somebody who they can help. And I think they picked me. I don't know why. I think they think I'm a poor guy, and I am. I'm a poor guy, but it doesn't bother me. It doesn't. I'm okay. And you know what? People think I remember the prophet. One time, a guy went to show him, I think his friend, he went to show him, and he showed him, Brother Branham, you see from here? And he was showing him very far that he could not see, over the horizon. That's where my property reaches. And the prophet said, oh, thank you. May God bless you for that. That's very good. And but he said, can I show you mine? And he said, from here up to there. That's what I think. And let me tell you something, brother. That's my belief. That's my faith. And I've tried to be rich. I've tried, but it doesn't come. And that's okay. That's okay, because he's taken that away from. I don't mind. I don't mind. If I get food, my children get food. My family gets food. I'm okay. They get clothes. They get what? They get the cover. That's okay. That's all right. I'm okay. It doesn't bother me. But I think sometimes it comes to a place where I think what happened. I imagined what happened with the school was that my wife was taking the children to school, and I'm very thankful for every one of you who has done something on the trip. And when I went for that trip, I'm very thankful. May God bless you. May God bless you. May God shower His blessings upon each one of them, because it's too much sometimes. So my wife is taking the, and I don't know where the devil comes all the time when I'm gone. It's just temptations. So my wife goes to start the small vehicle, the small van. It doesn't start, and then he goes to the. He uses now the big truck, and he takes the children to school. This is broken. He takes the children to school, and when she's taking the children to school, it stalls on the road. It stalls on the road. He tried to call Dawn. I think Dawn did not hear. So now they're stuck. And I imagine it was very cold. The children are right there. They're right there inside the vehicle. She doesn't know what to do. But the vehicle by itself, it roars. It roars to a school. And you wonder why it happened right there. So that's why I'm saying my property, my I own from here to that. That's why I say that. It roars down to a school there, and it parks there. And it's there. Now, I don't know where Burkina comes from. That's another thing. It's everything in my life, that's my life. Everything there is something. And I know each one of you. Each one of you, there's nobody that is sufficient without him. If a husband comes, if a woman comes to a place where he doesn't need anything from the husband, then that marriage is not there. When it comes to a place where you don't need anything from him, then that marriage between you and God is not there. So constantly, we need him. Sometimes we don't realize that. But we need him constantly. That's why he's our husband. He's our father, he's our everything. We depend on him every moment. Even when you think you have money, there's sometimes that money can become paper and nothing. Even when you think you have a new car, it can come to a place it's not working. Like the other time, Michael was giving us a story here about his truck, and it's almost a new truck, and God has to intervene and do something. So don't think that mine, it's only that mine, I was there, and God makes it like that for everyone to see, and I don't know why he does that. So he takes that, and now Burkina comes, takes the children to school, and back and like that. Of course, to cut the long story short, the track was sometimes fixed, and Michael, God bless you. How do you have 3 vehicles? God has purpose for that again. And he says, just come pick mine. And if you had 1 or 2, you could not maybe have given, but God has put that there. You don't know why. Everything works together for good. And that's why we got to trust on him and lay there on him. In every way, he's there. He orders the steps of a righteous man. He does that. He ought, everywhere you step, there's a purpose. And we got to surrender ourselves and let him control us. You know, I remember that time when the prophet was left by, came to the airport, and he could not go. And he strode, the plane stalled. Something happened to the plane, and he walked out. And he was ordered. He was ordered by God. He didn't know. And he was ordering, what if my freight leaves me? And he goes there, and he's walking, and he's singing. And he finds a woman down the road, and the woman tells him, person, and he doesn't know him, person, because God had told him. God had told that woman that he said this. And when he came there, how do you know that I'm a person? I've been praying. I like that, brothers. I didn't love that. Praise be to God. I've been praying the whole night for my child to get healed. And he told me, I love that. And he told me, and we need that. We need that. He told me that you're coming, and here you're coming. That's why I knew that you're the person. And he went there and prayed for the boy. And he went back. And when he was going back, he thought the freight had left him. And this is the last call. That's right. The pain had, God orders the steps of a righteous man. Praise be to God. And the only thing I pray is that he lets me trust him more, because I don't. I'm a human being that thinks. I'm thinking about this. I desire this. And sometimes I forget that. And it's good to come and remind me. When it comes to a place, I cannot move, and it tells me, I'm here. And he does it. So, and I'm very thankful for everything that he does, everything that you people do. I don't know what I can do without you. And may God bless you. May God bless you very much. So, I think they knew that. They knew about the vehicles. I don't know how they picked me. I don't know how they picked me as the only poor guy. That's cool. And they brought some gifts there. And I talked to them. I took their numbers. We'll be talking now. They're from Denver. I think I'll be visiting them. They are very good families. They are two families. And they are very, very, very good. I'll be talking to them. And my wife told them that I'm a missionary. I've just come from a missionary. And all that time when those things were happening, I was on a missionary work in Kenya and in different places. So I'm very thankful if they're listening in. I'm very, very thankful to them. And they are now my friends. And the only thing that I can give them is this message. And I tell people like that. You know, I love, there's a brother, there's a man, there's a son of Kenan that I love so much. I don't know why we boarded so well with brother. He's called Samuel. And I told him, Samuel, he's not a Christian right now. He doesn't go to church. He doesn't have this. And I told him, Samuel, something I like to tell you. I love you very much. The only thing that I award you, I want to make a covenant with you. I told him that. I want to make a covenant with you. And we made that covenant. And I hope he's going to keep his part of the covenant. I'm going to keep my part of the covenant. And we agree like this. Whoever goes first, I don't know whether he's trying to do it. I heard that someone was telling me he was found listening to this message very well. I don't know. If I go first, Brother Samuel, find me there. That's our covenant with him. And I would like to have a covenant with each one of you. If I go before you, find me there. If you go before me, let me find you there. Let's do our best that we find one another there. You're not going to only live here together, but you're going to live together over there. And that should be our business. Every time you think about this, we are going. This is a very short time here. This should not bind you here. These things of the world should not bind you here. There's some more important business. There's more and more important place to go. Place to go. This is a very short time. The oldest person can be maybe a hundred and something. Our sister Agnes. It can be that. And what is that before God? That's just a few minutes here on earth. And you're going. Let this world and this life not ruin your eternity. So do your best. Let's find one another there. And now, thank you very much. And even for coming. And this is good. And I wished that if I knew you were coming, I would have told Brother John to preach instead of me. But now, I knew Dad was coming. I wasn't sure about Mom. I know they're always together, and that's sweet. That's very sweet. That's very good. So I knew that. I didn't know about Michael. And my wife this morning told me that they were coming. I was very, very happy. And God bless you. And when I was coming there at the driveway, he told me, Grandma is coming and Reese is coming. So most welcome. Most welcome. And we love you very, very, very much. May God bless you. So when I approach this, by the way, Brother Michael, God bless you. I give Michael a very hard time because I'm very disorganized. And I'm thankful to him because he bears with me. I sent it twice, and I still could not say the right thing. I added another quote down there. So the second one is the best one if you have something that you're following with. But I didn't put the fifth seal. That is the fifth seal. It is the fifth seal. I didn't put that quote came from the fifth seal. So I put it later, and it's not there, so you can put down there that it is fifth seal. That is from the fifth seal. So this is a very difficult subject. And I thought I'm just going to explain it, but it is very difficult. And every time I explain it, I feel like it's not coming out the way I would like. So I thought I would go down and make it so simple, like somebody, you know, like the last time I read this quote, it was like I'm trying to prove a point. This time I'm not trying to do that. I'm just trying to show what it is. What is it exactly? I'm just trying to show that. So I may need to go in some deeper details on some things about this. So you bear with me for that. And there are some questions, because that's how I study. I study with questions. Like, who are the two witnesses? That's the first question that I want to answer today. If we get time, that's Moses and Elijah. What are they? Who are they? What are they? Who is Moses and Elijah? Who is Moses and Elijah? They're in the Bible. I'm going to read where they're in the Bible. Who are they? What are they? Okay. Now, another question that maybe I don't know whether I can answer it today is, what was their work? What were they supposed to do? What are they supposed to do? What is Moses and Elijah supposed to do? That's another question. Maybe I don't know whether I'm going to touch it today or not. The next question is, when did they come? When did Moses and Elijah? I cannot bring that up because I cannot reach there, I know. But when did they come? When did they come? Is it something in the future? Is it something in the past? When did they come? When were they supposed to come? According to prophecy. According to God's word, when were they supposed to come? That's another question. When were they supposed to come? A lot of churches, a lot of message churches don't believe they've come. A lot of message churches don't believe that. Even a lot of people in the earth, in the other denomination, they don't believe it has happened. It is something that is in the past. They were supposed to come between Wesley's time, that is the sixth church age, and the coming of the Son of Man. That's where, between that, that's when they were around there. And they were supposed to come, and I'm going to read some scriptures about that. They were supposed to come for the 3.5 years because of the 70 weeks of Daniel. I don't know whether that is understandable. You remember there were 70 weeks of Daniel. And that's completely different. 70 weeks of Daniel is different from 70 years of Jeremiah. I hope you understand that. Hope you put some difference on that. There's 70 years of Jeremiah, and there's 70 weeks of Daniel. The 70 years of Jeremiah was actually Israel. He was prophesying that Israel would be taken to captivity by Babylon, by the Babylonian kingdom, and they did. They went to captivity. Now, in captivity, there was time. The time elapsed. The 70 years was almost over, and when it was almost over, things didn't seem to change in the Israelites with the Jews. They were still the bad people that they were. The reason they were taken to captivity was still there. So Daniel started looking at it and wondering, what is going to happen now? Lord, what is going to happen? And he was bothered in his heart, and he started praying. And he prayed until God answered the prayers. When he answered the prayers, he was told that the country of Israel is given, or the Jewish people are given 70 weeks for their salvation. And it's a whole story. It's going to start here. It's going to start here. When they allow you to go build back the temple, that is when you start counting those years. 70 weeks of Daniel. I hope you understand that. 70 weeks of Daniel. Now, how do we count the 70 weeks of Daniel? Every week, the 70 weeks, every week has 7 years. Every week has 7 years. I don't know for those people who know mathematics what that is. But 7 weeks, one week is 7 years. And now we have 70 of them, 70 weeks. Now, all of that got finished until Jesus came. Until Jesus came, there was only 1 week left. When Jesus came here on earth, it was only 1 week left with the Jews. Now, Jesus Christ preached to them half of that week. And he was cut. The scripture says he was cut. So that 7 week, that's 7 years was cut. So he preached three and a half years. What is that? That is half a week. Is that right? Half a week, half of seven. Is that right? Half of seven. So we have another 3.5 years that the Jews were waiting for. Now, that is when these two witnesses come to preach to Israel for the other 3.5 weeks. For the 7 weeks to be accomplished. I don't know whether that is hard, but it's just something. I hope you understand that. And is there in the book of Daniel, is there, and every time in the book of Revelation, it talks about times and times. Times and times and a half. It talks a different way. It talks about 42 months. For 2 months, if you count that, it's 3.5 years. It talks about something like that. It talks different ways. 6 days and 2 weeks. It talks about weeks and like that. But it's all talking about 3.5 years remaining for Israel. And you know what's happening to Israel right now. You know, they're fighting Hamas and things like that. And it's so bad there. They are bad. They're in a very bad shape. And those people also who they're fighting with, they're in a bad shape. And the whole world, the UN is against them. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what is getting fulfilled. But one thing is, all that has happened, the two witnesses have come, the 3.5 years have come, they are now, we are not there. To me, we are not there even in the 3 halves. It's done, it's finished. Now, what are they being called to? What were they being called to by the two witnesses? It's already happened because Jesus Christ has come. A lot of message churches, that's the difference between us and a lot of message churches. Message churches don't believe that he has come. The message of the hour is that he has come. That's the message of the hour. He has come. Jesus Christ has come. The second coming of the Lord has happened. That's what a lot of people don't know. You know, I went to Ohio and I met Brother Joseph and them, but the people who were explaining to us how they believe that Brother Branham has got raised up from the dead. There are people who believe like that. A lot of people in Jewanton believe like that. I don't know whether Brother Joseph exactly believes like that, but that's what they believe, that Brother Branham has got raised up. And I don't see it that way, because that makes more sense than those people who say he's not going to raise up. That makes more sense than those people who say he's not going to raise up and Jesus Christ has not come. Because you see, he was to forerun, and people say that it's not him who was to forerun the second coming of the Lord. He says it was his message. True, I agree, it is his message. And what was John? How was John forerunning the first coming of the Lord? How was he forerunning? He had a message. That message and John were one. They didn't part. The message and John didn't part. They were together always. And his message was over when he died. That was over. In fact, before he died, when he was taken to jail, it was over. It was forerunning the second coming of the Lord. And when the Lord came, and he came to John, and he said that this is the Lamb of the Lord, the Lamb of God that takes the... That was over. That his message was over. And that's exactly right. The forerunning of Christ, the second coming, was by Brother Branham, according to the prophecy in Ohio, 1933. He was told, he's going to forerun the second coming of the Lord. And the prophet says, when Jesus comes, he'll find Brother Branham here. And that's in the book called, I think it's in the Church Ages. What do you call that? You authenticate or you authenticize or something. Or to make people know that this is exactly the one that was to forerun this. Jesus Christ, you approve of, or we vindicate his coming and being here, we vindicate Brother Branham. So Brother Branham is here and Christ is here. They will be together here on earth, alive. We have two quotes on that. When the prophet says, they will be together here. When he comes from heaven, Revelation 10, he will be together, they will be together here. I think we know that. Praise be to God. But what was the work of these three witnesses? I don't know, I'm going before myself. I'm going to read the quotes. But what was the work of these two witnesses? They were to introduce the Jews, not the Gentiles, the Jews to Jesus. Jesus whom they refused when he came here on earth. Because when he came here on earth, they refused him and crucified him. And he turned over, and Paul tried to preach them. And he said, because you proved yourself unworthy of this gospel, the Lord has called me to turn over to go to the Gentiles. So Paul went to the Gentiles. And they have been blinded for us, because of us, so that you can get in. But now, according to the scripture, God cannot throw them away. God cannot throw the Jews away. That was his people. That was his nation. That was his people. So what does he do? He calls the two witnesses, Elijah and Moses, who are gonna go to him, to them, and persuade them. This is get ready, because the atonement that you refuse is coming back. Jesus Christ is coming back the second time. Now when he comes back, the two witnesses are gonna have talk to the Jews, and the Jews will accept Jesus Christ. Is it in the past or in the future? It's in the past, it's done. And they are now bad. According to the scripture, there are 144 of them. 144,000. Israelites will follow Jesus, will accept the atonement that they refused. And they'll cry according to the Bible. According to the Bible, they'll cry because of what they did. They killed Jesus Christ. Who killed Jesus Christ? They are the Jews who did that. They crucified him. They didn't. It's the Roman government that did. But they called for it. Even when the Roman government wanted to release Jesus, they said, no, we don't want that. They had a chance to make him not crucified. But they said, no, crucify him. So they called for his crucifixion. When they realized what they did, their king, they'll cry. And have they done that? They have already done that. Have you seen them crying? I've not seen them crying. I even didn't hear the paper saying that. We don't hear
When Jesus Christ was born here on earth, there was no paper that said he was born on a manger. There was nothing said about him. God don't do those things. But look here. The people, the shepherds, knew. They knew. And they did not need nothing. They only needed for God to tell them. The rest of the people, they were told, they refused. There's no newspapers, there's no nothing. But everything is happening in order and in time. Nothing is getting late. Jesus Christ came. The two witnesses came. They were introduced to him. The 144 were taken. Praise be to God. And there's a lot of things about that. They say the sixth seal and what the sixth seal says. And I would like maybe when I have time to talk about the sixth seal. You know what the sixth seal is? The sixth seal, the prophet is the sixth seal are the two witnesses. The sixth seal are the two witnesses. am I saying it right, Mom? Sixth. Seal number six. Seal number six is the two witnesses. Sixth. I don't have a tool to say it right. Sixth. Eh? Sixth. Eh? Seal number six is the two witnesses. The promise is like that. The two witnesses is the seal number six. What is seal number six? You know it from the Bible. You know it from the Bible. What the Bible says. That there was the moon became as bloody. You remember that? The Bible says the moon became bloody. You know, there was nothing. The moon could not produce, give light. The sun became as dark as something. Is right? And then the stars became what? What stars became like fig trees that fell down, fig trees that have not grown enough and they're falling down like they are rotten. Is that right? The stars did that. The prophet asks, what is that? He says, is the total darkness. Total darkness. Total darkness on what? Total darkness. Has that happened? This is the time of total darkness to the earth. They don't know the word. What is total darkness? What is the light? The light is the word of God. And the word of God is this for me. What is it called? Famine. Is it called famine? Or starvation. Spiritual starvation. Total in the earth. Total darkness right now. There's total darkness. Nobody knows about God, nothing. I give you an example of one time I was preaching in the place of work, in the break room. It was in the meeting room. And I was talking about how Jesus died, and then it was again. He said, I've never heard that. America. I said, America? Somebody does not know. Because what have they done? They have even refused people to read the Bible in schools. They don't know nothing. The children don't know nothing. The word has still been taken away. There's total darkness. And not only America, everywhere. Total darkness. What is it? The sun cannot produce its light. The moon, the church, which is supposed to start with God. They are total darkness. They don't know even where they are. They don't even know what they believe in. Even church, they don't know. Total darkness. The preachers, the stars, who are supposed to preach, they talk about going and helping people. They don't talk about this. Total darkness. What was happening? Every time you see that kind of total darkness, the prophet says, what is happening? God is saving his son. The sixth seal, God was saving his son. Remember that? When God was saving his son, Jacob, in Egypt, what happened? There was total darkness in Egypt. Is that right? Do you know that? There was total darkness in Egypt. What was God doing? God was saving his son, Jacob. Is that right? Is that right? When God was saving his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, there was total darkness from 3, was it 3 a.m. in the morning to, was it 9 a.m. to 3 a.m. in the night? Total darkness. And again, when he's saving the 144, there's total darkness again on earth. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I hope I'm not complicated. Am I complicating it? I'm trying to be as simple as possible. that's the Bible. And we like going back to the Bible and seeing exactly what he's saying. So he says, those were the two witnesses. All right. So what was their work? Their work was to call. And I'm just saying that because we don't know whether I'll have another time for people to understand what I'm saying. Maybe if you don't understand exactly, just go and listen to the YouTube again and understand what you're saying. So what was their work? Their work was to call the Jews back to the atonement, back to Jesus Christ, when he comes the second time. The first time they refused him, now the second time they will accept him because of two witnesses. We introduce him to them. Now, when did they come? They came between Wesley. That's when, I don't know where, when the 3.5 years come.
I don't know particularly. I cannot point it particularly. But I'm gonna bring some quotes where it's gonna place you where it belongs. But it's between because it is in the sixth seal, which is actually the sixth trumpet that brought the two ages, the four ages, the four slaying ages. Mussolini, Stalin, what was the other? Hitler and Eichmann. Praise God. That is the sixth trumpet that brought that. So it's from there, from around there, to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the opening of the seas. In between there, that's the time when the two witnesses come. Now, how are they killed? Another question. How are they killed? That's another question. How are they killed? When you realize who they are, then you can tell how they were killed. Because according to the Bible, they were killed. They were killed. According to the Bible, they were raptured. How are they raptured? If you realize who they are, then you're going to know how they were raptured. How are they killed and how are they raptured? Because if you think they're two guys, then you think they were shot. Or they'll be shot. Or whatever. In future or whatever. But if you know who they are now, you can actually understand how are these people killed? How are these people, how did they rise up and then raptured? And then you understand who the rapture is. Rapture is not another thing people have. When we say when he come, when Jesus come, when Jesus Christ come the second time, he had the only one purpose, to catch the bride. He's never sorrowful. He's never it. He did it. This is rapture age. The prophet gives it a very, very good. He says, where do we go? He says, where? He says, Ruza. He says, in the book called, who is this Melchizedek? He says, we had Ruza. He says, we had Wesley. And he said, we had the Pentecost or the gifts of the Holy Ghost. We had that. And from there, he says, where do we go? He says, where do we go? He goes, the rapture. The rapture. That's the fourth part. From Ruza, that's the fourth part. And that is not in the church ages. Because he's come. We are over. The church ages are over. We are over that. We are not in the church ages. We are not in Laodicea. No, sir, we are not. We are not in Laodicea. Where are we? We are, the prophet said, we are plumb beyond that. He said, you cannot even preach the message of Laodicea, which is Pentecost. You cannot preach that. When you do that, you're wrong. He said, if I come with it, in the book called the Feast of the Trumpets, he said, if I come with it, I'll be wrong. I'll be in Laodicea and I'll be wrong. You cannot even preach it. We are plumb beyond that. Where are we? We are in the rapture. What is the rapture? People think rapture is flying away. No, sir. Rapture is not flying away. We don't even have the word rapture in the Bible. We don't have it. What do we have in the Bible? The Bible says, talks about caught up, being caught up. What's being caught up? You are caught up with the work. You are caught up in jail. You are caught up with something. You are caught up. You are held there. You are a prisoner of that. You now become. This is it. The rapture is being a prisoner to something. And the prophet said, what's the rapture? He said, it's a revelation. It's a revelation of the fullness of God in this hour. You are caught up with that, brother. You are caught up with the fullness of Christ in this hour. You are caught up there. You cannot move aside. You cannot do nothing. You are caught up. You are surrendered. You are prisoner to that. That's the rapture. This is the time for rapture. This is the time when God is rapturing his people. This is when God is having preeminence. This is the time. He has come and God is having preeminence in his children. This is the salvation today. If you want to be saved, that is the salvation. Being in the rapture. Being surrendered. Being a prisoner to the fullness of the word that has come. And I hope I'm not complicating anything. I hope that. And if I have, you have my number. And I don't know why. We are very careful here. I don't know why we are so careful. We are so careful here. Just say something. Just write me something. What did you mean by this? There's nothing wrong. Just I work through in it. Because when I preach, I'm not just preaching. I want people to get. I'm here for us to get. And sometimes I also get it. When I'm preaching you, mom, grandma, I get it when I'm preaching it. So we want to get. So if somebody doesn't get, just let me know. And I'll explain it further. We can even chat.
We can do some chats. We can do that. Because we want people to understand. So when he comes for the rapture, when he comes for the rapture, to get the bride is when. Now, because they're not more than two comings. There's only one, two coming. Say, I don't know. There's not more than one second coming. That's what I mean. There's not more than one second coming. So there's not more than one first coming. There's not more than one second coming. There's not more than one third coming. It's only one first coming. One second coming. And this second coming is purposely to get the bride. The next thing, when he gets the bride, because you remember the story of Joseph? You remember the story of Joseph? He had Asenath. Asenath was his wife. The daughter of Potiphar. The vice president of Egypt. Is that right? Yeah, he had his daughter. Is that right? Now his daughter was in the room, was in the house when he introduced to the 144. You remember that? When he introduced himself, the Gentile wife, Asenath, was in the room, in the house, when Joseph introduced himself to his brothers, the Jews. You remember that? So exactly right here. Exactly. So he must get the bride first. The bride is here. He's gotten the bride. The bride is in the house. In the house. Now he comes out to introduce himself. To introduce himself to the Gentiles. To the Jews. To his brothers. That's exactly what happens. So he gets the bride. When he gets the bride, then he gets the Jews also. Now, here we have two things happening. We have two things happening here. In this age, in the rapture age, we have a church. That's very interesting because that's also very, if people argue about that, we have a church that is God dealing with. He's done away with the church ages. It's finished. But here we have, it's still finished. Now here we have the bride that God is dealing with, the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ that God is dealing with, one. And at the same time, he's also having the Jews. I can read some quotes on that. He has two groups of people here. But now, you remember he said he cannot deal with the church. He cannot deal with the church, the Gentiles. You remember he said that? He cannot do that. He could not do that at that time, during the church ages and all that time, during redemption. He cannot do the work of redemption on both at the same time. He cannot. But now redemption is over. He's done. He's got what he wanted. He got the Jews, what he wanted, the 144, and he got the bride. It's over. He could not do that in the redemption time, but now he can. Can you get it? That's what he says. He could not deal. In fact, Brother Don, 4 years, and you can see in my computer, in my old tablet, I wrote that, God, please, I wrote, the heading is, God, please help me. That's the topic. God, please help me. I could not understand why now we have them here. I could not understand why we have them here. Jews, and the Gentiles together here. But we don't have them here. And I said, please, God, help me. And I looked at him the other day. And I asked that question. Because he says like that, and those questions are here. He said, please, God, help me. I don't get it. Until God now. We are here. It's done. It's in the redemption. When he was what? Brother, that's why he's not working with anything else. Redemption is over. He's not going to redeem anybody. That's why it's over. It's done. It's finished. The work of intercessory, the work of redemption is over. It's done with that completely. That's why the world, there's a few, they be few, they steal. There's a clean seal. It's done. There's no salvation anywhere else. God is dealing with one group called the Gentile, one church. The Gentile and the Jews. And the Jews. The bride and the Jews. The bride and the 144. Those 144 were brought here by the two witnesses. Let's go there now. I know I've talked so much. I know I've preached already. Now, let's go here. So, of course, they were raptured. They were killed. The two witnesses were killed. Like that. Let's go here now. Who? This is a question now that you're going to answer today. Who are the two witnesses? Who are they? Who are the two witnesses? Now, let's go here. And for this time, it's 12:17. What time do I've got about 30 more minutes or something, or 20 or something. I'm going to be
I'm going to be very short. I don't want to go very much. So I'm going to jump some things, but at least I want you to understand. Okay. There's a carrier four. There's a carrier four that is in the... What's in the... I don't know where I got this from, but I can tell you. I'm bad. I'm bad with this, brothers. I'm bad with this. Not writing where I got it from. Let me get it. Is the question and answers? Is the question and answers? I'm going to put that one. Question and answers, 1964. That is August. Okay, now. Does Zachariah 4, so that you can see where that question comes from. Does Zachariah 4 and Revelation 11, 3, 12 speak of the same being? It's a question. Somebody wants to know. What does Zachariah 4 say? Zachariah 4 is talking about, we're going to read it, but it's talking about, does Zachariah 4 and Revelation 11, 3, 12 speak of the same being? And is it speaking of the same being? Zechariah 4, 12, and Revelation 11, 4. They signed their name to it, brother and sister of the church. Here, he says, let's see, he's answering now. Let's see, Zechariah 4, where? Oh, yeah. That's the two olive trees. That is the two olive trees. Zechariah 4 is the two olive trees. You're going to read that, and you're going to see. Two olive trees, yeah. The two olive trees in Revelation 11 is, oh yeah, that's the same thing. That's them both. That's the most that is Moses and Elijah, the two olive trees. So Moses and Elijah are equated with the two olive trees. Now let's go to Zechariah. Let's go to Zechariah slowly and understand what is this question? What is this person asking? Right? Let's be slow. If we don't finish, that's okay. We can talk, instead of jumping and we jump and we don't understand. Let's understand it, okay? What is this person asking? He's asking Zechariah 4 and Revelation 11. He says, are they the same people? Are they the same thing? He says, and that person should have actually been studying. Even to ask that question, he should have been studying very much. He should have actually been following the prophet. Because there's another quote. I can read you sometimes. He says, they say it is the Old and the New Testament. And it's wrong. That is 1954. The prophet said it was wrong even to think that this is this. So I think this is somebody that has been following the prophet, that has been studying. So now in Zechariah, and the angel that talked to me, Zechariah 4, 1 to 7. And the angel that talked to me, that's Zechariah. He was talking to Zechariah. Came again, that's the Bible. And waked me up as a man that was weakened out of his sleep. And said unto me, what seest thou? What are you seeing? And I said, I've looked and beheld a candlestick, all of gold. And I would like to draw that here. This candlestick is of all gold, okay? I don't know how to draw. How do I draw? Now, let me draw this. That's that. Let me draw it like this. Okay. And this is another tree. This is olive trees. These are olive trees. I don't know whether olive comes from a tree or from a vine. I don't know. But now this is something like that, okay? I think that is good. I think that's good for somebody who don't know how to draw at all, okay? For somebody who don't know how to draw at all, I think that's good. So this side you have 1, 2, 3. So they have two there and two there. Is that right? How many are this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So they are all 7. Those are candlesticks. This is oil. This is olive oil. Supposed to be olive oil. Can you get that? That's olive oil. That's olive oil. These are trees. These are the true vine trees. This is called Manoah. I think it's called Manoah in Israel right now. This is an emblem. In Israel government even now. And I think in the first temple there were, I think, 4. It could be 3, I don't know. The temple that was built by Solomon. He kept 4 of them and they were all gold. They were all golden. You can make a stud here, no problem. So it was all gold. And it was kept in the temple. And it meant rights. God is light. And God is, and that means even the church ages is not when God has started using the church ages. Even in the Old Testament, there were church ages. I think that is not very clear with people. God has always used people, messengers, in every age. There might be no seven, but there were church ages in, because what was it? Is the light. He gets one man and gets the light to the world at a certain time. And every cardo is light. It's right. That's right. Every cardo has a light. So in every age, God says Noah. In another age, God said Jeremiah. In another age, God said so and so. God was saving people. And those are the people who bring the word of God from God and bring the people. And actually, the prophet says they were called gods. Because why? They were given a piece of God. They were given a portion of the word of God to bring the people. Well, that's why Jesus was telling them, if I call myself God, why are you troubled? Why are you troubled that I call myself God? And I'm the word. And those people who the piece of word came to, not the full word, Jeremiah did not have the full word, but they were called gods by people, and you accepted that. Why don't you accept me when I call myself God? And he was not called, even calling himself God, but he was speaking things that were actually attributed to being called God. That is what Zachariah was seeing. That's the picture that Zachariah was seeing. And was saying, what is it? That's a picture. Okay. I want to be slow. But at the same time, I don't want to stay here for a long time. But we better come very slow and we understand what you're saying. A broken behold, a candlestick, all of gold, all of it is of gold. With a bowl and gold. Remember, gold is deity. I hope you know that. You know the three people who came from the what are they called? Magis? You call them Magis. We call them Magi in Kenya. Magis. Magis were the wise people who studied the stars. And they brought things. And one of the things they brought to Jesus Christ was gold. And the prophet says, that gold meant deity. Gold means deity. Am I pronouncing that? And mom, you're free to help me when I don't pronounce things right, because you know English. I don't. Mom is a good. Mom knows English, so you can help me. Am I pronouncing that? Deity. Deity is God. God. Deity. Deity. That's right. I'm sorry. And to those people who are listening in, can you say it again? I can't say it. Deity.
Okay.
All right. Now you know what I'm talking about, eh? If I don't pronounce it right. All right, okay. I'm talking about God. That meant God. Amen. It meant God. And everything they brought. That's why they brought the right gifts to the right person. Well, that was deity. That was God here on earth. Jesus Christ was God here on earth. They brought some other things, meaning death and like that. Okay. But we're not there now. So that was deity. That actually showed God giving right to the world. Okay? Now, but in the New Testament, when is it shown? Is it shown Jesus Christ in the midst of that? Do you get that? He came, he died, now he's in the midst of his church ages. He wasn't there in the Old Testament because he wasn't there. He was not born yet. He was not born. The lad, they depended on the sheep. They depended on animals that didn't have soul. But now the one that lamb was representing is here now. He's in the midst of his people now. But this is over. Listen, this is over. This is over. The last lamb was gone. The last lamb was Brother Branham. The last lamb was in Laodicea. It was a seven churches messenger. And that was gone. That's completely gone. What do we have now? We have him and the bride shining. Not to the world, because there's no world. It's total darkness there. But to them, he's done away with everything. No mercy, no nothing. All right, to the world. But now people say there's no mercy. Because he said like that, when he opens that book and the seals are open, there's no more mercy. They say that. But let me tell you something. Whenever God is, it's mercy. God himself is mercy. That is what brought himself here on earth, and he became man because of that mercy. God himself is love, Don't you never think at the end one single time that God hates you? Sometimes people think like that. Because of suffering and things like that. God does not hate you. People have run away from him. Even the worldly people, God loves them. God said he saved every one of them. But they refused to come and pick up that salvation. He's done it, but they themselves have refused. Praise God. God is love. God loves them, but they refused him. That's why the Bible says they threw him out. At the end of the church ages, he was in the church ages. They threw him out. Not him going out. No, sir. They threw him out. God is love. God is mercy. God has still mercy with his people. Because they left mercy. Listen, it's not God who left them. It's them who left mercy. It's the world that has left mercy. That's why there's no more mercy. I think that is important to see so that people don't continue accusing God when you say there's no more mercy. There's no more mercy to the world. Why? They threw him out. They don't want it. They have nothing to do with him. I have everything to do with him. And you know what? Brother, let me just say it because he's coming in my head. We don't seek him. We don't go looking for him. It is him who comes looking for us. And he did that. He has done that to me. He has done that to every one of you. Has he done that to them? He done that to them. He came and died for them. He's been looking for them. They keep on running. They were not predestinated. There's nothing you can say. But he done his part. You can't blame God. In the day of judgment, there's no finger that will be pointing to God. They will be pointing to themselves. You had this, you refused. You spanned mercy for so long until there's nothing you could do. That's exactly right. Praise be to God. Now, let us finish this. And the seers, he said, I've looked and behold, a candlestick of four gold with a bowl upon the top. I think I've drawn it wrong. I think, but just get it. It's just a picture. The bowl is supposed to be here. They put the bowl here. And this comes from here, like doing this, getting back like this. Do you get that? So that the oil can go to the candle. Do you understand that? It's on top. But this is, you understand what it is. You understand? It's just an example. Okay. Now, I said, I've looked and behold, a candlestick of gold. And his seven lampstands thereon. Those are the lampstands. And seven pipes to the seven lamps. Seven pipes. Those are the pipes. The pipes to the seven lamps. The seven lamps. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Therefore, where am I? I've lost a bit. Seven pipes on the lamps, which are upon the top thereof. And two olive trees. Those are the two olive trees. Do you remember now the person who asked in Zechariah, is Zechariah 4 the same as the two olive trees? And the two candlesticks are the same. There's two olive trees. This is Moses and Elijah. Is this the same? He was asking, is this the same with Zechariah? Let's go slowly. Seven pipes go to the hem. And two olive trees by it, one upon the right side. If you look at the question, is Zechariah 4 speaks of the same like that? And the prophet says, let's see Zechariah 4. Yeah, that's two olive trees. He says, that is two olive trees. That is two olive trees. Is this the same with Revelation 11? Is it the same? We're going to read the Revelation 11. But what he's talking about, he's talking about the two olive trees. Now, let's go slowly and see. Seeing what this rod, okay. Then the angel talked to me, And two olive trees, by it one upon his side. Okay, verse 4. So I answered and speak to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what this be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then answered and spake unto me, saying, now listen, he's talking to Zechariah, but I want you to note something here. He's talking to Zechariah. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. Who is Zerubbabel? Who knows who Zerubbabel is? Not the Zerubbabel the son of Padaiah. The son of David. Not that one. This is Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. Is it? How do you pronounce that? Shealtiel or Shealtiel? Something. I don't know. The son of Shealtiel. Okay. This is the word unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. Do you know who Shealtiel is? They worked with Nehemiah and another guy. I don't know. Nehemiah and Jeshua or something. Jeshua. They worked the three of the guys. Those are the guys when Israel was taken to captivity. When Israel was taken to captivity by Babylonians. The Babylonians were overthrown by the Medo-Persians. You know that. You know history. The Medo-Persians overthrew them. Now, the Medo-Persians who come, there was another a king from a Medo-Persian, from the Medo-Persian government that was called Cyrus. And he was a very good guy. So he allowed them to go back and build the temple that they had demolished. The temple that was built by Solomon was demolished. Now, Cyrus allowed those guys, and the head of them was Zerubbabel. In fact, he became the governor. After that, he became the governor of that place. Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel. Now, listen very carefully. He took that, the building, from the bottom. He took the foundation. He made the foundation. He brought it up until he brought the top. To the top. He finished it. Praise be to God. But you know, and I'm going to read that. But remember, he was doing exactly, he was restoring. He was restoring. And what was Malachi 4:5? What was Malachi 4:5? That house, this whole house, the house of the church ages was demolished by four ages until Luther. Is that right? Is that right, brother? Until it came to William Marion Branham at the top. And William Marion Branham at the top brings it back he takes it back to restoration, back to Pentecost, back to the beginning of the house. Praise be to God. Zerubbabel is William Marion Branham. Zerubbabel is Malachi 4. I hope it's not difficult, that one. It's just that. He's restoring. I'm going to read a quote for that. He's restoring. He's restoring the building. Back to Hendo. He goes back to the foundation again and brings it up. That's exactly what Brother Branham did with this house called the Pyramid, the Church Ages, the House of God. Praise be to God. What is the House of God? What is the temple? People are expecting, you know, but that's me, brothers. Forgive me for this. I'm not expecting another temple. And I'm wondering why haven't, how many temples did we have? We had three temples. We had two temples. Is that it? We had two temples. The first temple was built by who? By Solomon. Solomon, it was destroyed by Babylonians. They destroyed it. As Zerubbabel came, went back to the foundation and made it back. Stood up again. In 70 AD, it was completely destroyed. After it was built by Zerubbabel and them, it was completely destroyed. Of course, when the Roman government came, they tried to make it some few things, make it better. But actually, in 70 AD, Titus came and completely destroyed it. The only thing that is remaining there is the Wailing Wall. From there, they come. The second temple was completely destroyed. Now, the only thing that's starting there is the Wailing Wall. Beside the Wailing Wall, I think on the eastern side, there is the Mosque of Aqsa. The Prophet does not talk about that. I don't even know when it was made. So the Arabs come, the Muslims come, and actually did whatever they did with the things, the stones that were there. They just moved them there, and they built the Aqsa Mosque there. Now, on the other side, the first one that was built was the Dome of Rock. And that is where the Prophet goes when he goes to Matthew 24 about the abomination that brings desolate. He says, it's the Dome of Rock. It's got to be removed. Praise be to God. I hope you get that. So it was there. Now, I told you to forgive me for this. People think there's another temple going to be made. No, people don't realize what the temple was. He said, destroy this temple and in 3 days I'm going to raise it up. What is it? Destroy this temple and in 3 days I'm going to raise it up again. What is it? It's the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Which is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ? I saw that city coming down as a bride adorned for her. That's exactly it. It's the bride
Where does he live now? He lives in the heads of the bride. That's his temple. That is house now. That is his home. That is his body. Praise be to God. All right. So I don't. It's of no spiritual meaning and building. And why has not Netanyahu? They have money. Why haven't they built it? Praise be to God. They say if they demolish the Akasa Mosque and Doom of Rock, they're going to be war. Do they care? Israel don't care. If this thing is of God, they're going to just go ahead and build it and demolish it. They don't care. Why are they? Because, praise be to God, it does not have any spirit. What are they being led to now? They have been pointed by the two witnesses to the true temple, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the Lord Jesus Christ that he refused. And his body is his church. Is the bride. Praise be to God. That is what they are now. All the mysteries are going to be revealed to them. And they're going to realize that the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is the bride. So they don't need to go build another mosque there, another temple there. I hope this is not complicated. It's not. It's just you can see it. You can see it. You can just see what it is. All right. And I decided to come this way. Sister Esther, I know maybe I'm not come to your point, but I want to go slowly so that we can see the background. Where are we coming from? Where are you coming from? All right, okay. That's to me saying, this is the word of the Lord, or to the Zerubbabel saying, not by might, nor by power. You're not going to build this house by power, by might. No, sir. This house cannot be built by power, by might. No, sir, it cannot. What can build it is by his spirit. Okay. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? What is that? Who art thou, great mountain? What can impede this? What can stop it? What can stop God achieving what he has? Zerubbabel. Nothing can start before Brother Branham or the seven church age messenger. Nothing can start it. He's going to bring it. Praise be. He's going to restore it. He's going to bring it back. Nothing can stop him. He's going to do it. Because it's not by might. It's not by power, but my spirit. No mountain, no nothing. He's going to flatten it. Another quote he says, which permeates, permeates, I don't know, permeate, I don't know, P-L-O-U-M-M-E-T, something like that, coming or dashing something. I don't know, okay. Saying, not my might, not my power, but my spirit. Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone. He shall bring forth the headstone. Praise be to God. He is the forerunner of the headstone. He's going to bring it to the building. Praise be to God. You remember when we talked about very many people, the prophets in the churches in this book called The Stature of a Perfect Man. He drew on the pulpit, on the blackboard, he drew the pyramid. And the pyramid, if you look at the pyramid, the capstone was not with the body. Praise be to God. People still drew it like that. I don't. The capstone joined. The capstone. Praise be to God. The headstone has come. Crying, grace. It's come. It's come to the body. It's joined. And the God that you wait, you dash, or I don't know what you want to use, you go very fast and get into his temple. What is his temple? He came and entered into his temple, the bride. He had a throne. He was seated in the throne of his father. Can you get that? In the church, Jesus was sitting in the throne of his father. But whoever is an overcomer, whoever overcomes, I'll sit with him in my throne. What is his throne? His throne is the bride of the Lord, is the heart of the bride. Praise be to God. That is his throne. That is his temple. That's where he grows. That's where he stays. All right. Now, mountain. For the headstone, therefore with shoutings, crying, grace. In other words, it will come crying, grace. The headstone has come crying, grace unto it. Now, that's one. Now, we know what he was asking. He was asking about, is this the same with something? Let's go to very fast. Let's go to Revelation 11 and see whether, what is this other thing he's asking? Is this, the two olive trees, the same as, let's go there and see.
And there was, Revelation 11, and there was given to me a reed like unto rod. And the angel stood saying, rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. But that good, the altar and things like that, okay? In other words, go look at that temple, okay? But the court, which is without temple, leave it and measure it not, for it's given unto the Gentiles. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot, 42 months. I'm not going to talk about that. 42 months is just 3.5 years. And you give power unto my two witnesses. So the two witnesses are going to do the same kind of time. That will be the same time. And I'll give power unto my two witnesses. And I'll give power. Now, where am I? And I'll give power unto my two witnesses. Now, the question is the two witnesses, which is, if you go down there, it's going to show you it is Moses and Elijah. The one who was actually bringing water, becoming bread. That was Moses. The other thing was the one who was making the rain not rain. Is that right? That was Elijah. Now, is those two witnesses the same as the two olive trees? Is it the same? That's the question of that people, the question that, is it the same, the two olive trees and the two witnesses, is it the same? Is it the same? That's the question. Now, the answer is 42 months, and I'll pour witnesses, these are the two, three. He says, these are the two olive trees and the two candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. Can you see that? So, he says, the prophet says, let's go back there. And the angel, okay. Paragraph 191, where we read. Let's see now, Zechariah 4. Oh, yeah, that's the two olive trees. Yeah, the two olive trees in the Revelation 11. Yeah, Revelation 11, the two candlesticks. Is that right? No, the two witnesses of the two candlesticks. They are called two candlesticks or two olive trees. Is that right? They are called like that, either way. Okay. Now, the two witnesses and the two olive trees are one and the same thing. Do we agree on that now? That's why, according to the prophet. Now, the prophet says like that. I've taken a lot of time on that. I'm sorry. But let's go to the next quote. Here is another lamp. Is in exhibition of the seven church ages. Here is another lamp of pure gold. It is burning brightly because it has plenty of oil. That is it. It is given from the two olive trees, which stands on either side. The two trees represents the Old and the New Testament. Can you see that? The two olive trees, Moses and Elijah, are one and the same thing. Do you agree on that? The prophet says that it's one and the same thing. Praise be to God. What are they? He puts another thing there. He says, it's also the old, or represent, or stands for Old and New Testament. That's the Bible. It stands for the Bible. In other words, what was feeding this was the Word. The Word was coming from the Word. That's the only place where the Spirit, what is the Spirit? What is the oil? All is Spirit. It's not by might, it's not by power, but my Spirit. The only thing that can give right here on earth, is the Spirit of God that comes from the Word. If it comes from anywhere else, it's not coming from God. It's not going to give light, it's going to give darkness. Praise be to God. So it's the New and the Old Testament only presents that. Now, okay, I'm going to jump and go to, I won't tend to leave this alone, but I just decided to put it there. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he had declared to his servants the prophets. But why I wrote that, why I was looking at this is, who are these servants? Who are these servants? Who are these servants? Servants of the prophets. The prophets is the people who have wrote the Bible. The prophets who have wrote the Bible. But now, Zerubbabel, which is Brother Branham, is going to go back to the Old Testament and start telling you what happened in the Garden of Eden. And he's going to come over. He's going to take the two books, the Old Testament and the New Testament. He's going to bring them here back. Praise be to God. This is a scripture that promises he's going to do that. He's going to take all the revelation of the whole Bible. The whole Bible will be a new book.
He's going to restore it. He's going to bring it to plain view. Everybody's going to see it. Praise be to God. That is what God is going to give. Now, another thing. Let me just bring this because it's coming. Now, we have trumpets, is right? We have trumpets, is right? First trumpet, second trumpet, third trumpet, fourth trumpet. Is that right? Now, we know who trumpets are, don't we? The trumpets were actually gospels. The first trumpet to go forth was Paul. It was gospel trumpet. The prophet says, it's a gospel trumpet. Is that right? The second gospel trumpet came with Irenaeus. Like that, to the last trumpet brewer, the father of us who blew the last trumpet, which was Brother Branham. Is that right? Is that right, brothers? Now, if that be so, where are the trumpets to the Jews? Because they are coming at the head. Where are the trumpets of the Jews? The prophet says, they had a feast that was actually Pentecostal feast. They had seven feasts. You know them, the seven feasts. He says, Pentecostal feast and trumpet and the feast of the trumpets, he says they were the same. The feast of the trumpets was actually Pentecost. That's what he says. It was Pentecost to the Jews. What is feast of the trumpets? The feast of the trumpets. Listen very carefully. The feast of the trumpets are the trumpets when you're feasting on them. It's just like that. It says feast of the, what does it say? Feast of the, what is it? Your feast, Brother Michael, you're feasting on the trumpets. What are they? You're going back to Paul. Right? That's the first trumpet. You're coming to Irenaeus and you're getting all that. So Zerubbabel went back there to the foundation and brought all that together and gave it to the Jews. Is right? And the Jews were feasting on the trumpet. It's called the Feast of the Trumpets. And the prophet was told he was going to preach the trumpets. He was told, why do I, and he gathered everything and he had a tent to preach the trumpets. Because he was told by God, he knew from his calling that he was actually to bring all the mysteries of God. And trumpets is a mystery, just like plagues is a mystery, just like seals is a mystery. So this is a mystery. And I brought all this, now I'm going to bring the trumpets. So he prepared everything, and he was going to bring the trumpets. But God told him, and he told his wife, now, honey, you know I've prepared everything, but I don't know what I'm going to preach. I don't know those trumpets. And I've called the people telling them I'm going to preach the trumpet, but I don't know. And I don't know because he has not told me. Let's go talk to him. Let me go talk to him. And he came back and he said, he told me he preached those trumpets supernaturally. He just as he was going, he was preaching them, and he didn't know. Praise be to God. So he didn't need to preach them. What did he preach? The Feast of the Trumpets. What was the Feast of the Trumpets? The Feast of the Trumpets. Well, the prophet says, the prophet in one quote, he says, The trumpets for the Gentiles, it blew every time, every age. But for the Jews, it blew all of them blew at the same time. He says like that. I hope you get that. So it's a feast. Zerubbabel has brought all those. Who has done it? Zerubbabel. Who brought the temple from down here? Zerubbabel. Brother Branham, the seventh angel. The seventh angel has brought all the trumpets. He has brought the New Testament and the Old Testament together here. At the same time. Praise be to God. Melissa, if you don't get this, we are going to my house and I'm going to explain. I wish you can do that. I don't know you're getting no. You know that, but okay, that's right. All right. So that's why I brought that one here. He was the one to bring that. All the Bible is written by the prophets, and it's going to all bring it here together as a feast of trumpets. And we know that now that that's in the message of grace. And we know that the scripture says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. And he's also, I should have actually put another one there, because he's talking about Zerubbabel. Here he's talking about Zerubbabel. And I told you he's going to say it. And we know that the scripture says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone, and he's also the headstone. Now, if we will think of a few minutes, that's a seventh church message. Can you see that? Can you see? He's talking about Zerubbabel. He's talking about Zerubbabel. He says, now, if you think a few minutes, that the seventh church messenger was to restore the faith of the children back to the fathers. In other words, rebuild the church. Rebuild the temple. In other words, rebuild the temple, the church. Again, under the power of the Spirit. Not by power, not by might, but by my Spirit, say the Lord. Not by organization, not by denomination, but by the Holy Spirit, God will bring forth the church in the last days. Now he says, Zerubbabel, the prince, with Joshua, was the one that was to bring forth the headstone. He had laid the foundation. He had took the people back to the foundation in time. Is he talking about Brother Branham? Is he talking about Malachi 4? Yes. Restoration. He's taking back to the foundation. He's taking people back to Pentecost, to the first Pentecost. Bringing them up to this Pentecost. And then the headstone. I hope it's clear, brothers and sisters. Now, let's go to the next one. I'm not going to explain. That's the week of Daniel. Now, these two prophets, these two candlesticks, these two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, these two prophets, what will they do? What are they going to do? It's Moses, it's Elijah, and Elijah that will rise on the scene. They will tell those Jews they are mystic. That's what they will do. They will tell the Jews they are mystic. And out of the Jews bunch that's there now, there will be the 140,000, 44,000. Can you see that? God will call by these prophets. God will call by these prophets. Okay. What is it? The spirit of Elijah. Malachi 4. Is that right? Malachi 4. The spirit of Zerubbabel. The spirit of the seventh angel. Can you get that? Same thing. The spirit of Elijah of Malachi 4. Of the Gentile church. Who is the spirit of Gentile of the Malachi of Elijah of Gentile 4? Of the Gentile church. We just continue right on into that Jewish church. I had a quote. And there are many. Do you know that God cannot have... I think you know that God cannot have Elijah and Moses here on earth at the same time. How do you know that? How many knows that? Raise up your hand if you do. God cannot have two prophets at the same time. Those are major prophets. They cannot be here at the same time. John and Jesus cannot be here at the same time. Elijah and Moses cannot be here at the same time. Nehemiah and Jeremiah cannot be here at the same time. They cannot. We cannot. We cannot have Elijah and Moses at the same time. So it is the same Elijah. The Elijah of Malachi 4. Who is that? Brother Branham. Are we talking about Brother Branham? The son of Branham and Era Branham? No. We are talking about that message. The revelation of the Old and the New Testament. That is Moses and Elijah. The revelation, the resurrection, I will call it like that, the resurrection of, so that you see how the two witnesses are resurrected, the resurrection of Old and New Testament, the resurrection of it is brought up here. The revelation, I will send you Elijah the prophet and he will reveal. I've read that. The whole Bible will be a new thing. It will be here. That's Moses and Elijah. That's the Old and New Testament. It's the Bible. The Bible will be a new book to be completely revealed and put here. That is what is gonna introduce anybody to him. Can you get that? Nothing can introduce anybody to him except that. The new and the Bible, the Word, is written to them. And they recognize this is the one that Noah was talking about. This is the one that Abraham was talking about. Why do they bring Moses and bring Elijah? Why don't they bring Elijah alone? Because Moses was the Old Testament people. Moses was the lawgiver. Is that right? The Old Testament people. Elijah is the new. Do you know Elijah was of the Gentiles? Jezebel was not a Jew. Jezebel was not a Jew. Praise be to God. So he was dealing with Jew and Gentiles. He was like that. So he brings Elijah and he brings Moses. What is it? It's the Old Testament and New Testament. Brought here together and new, something new completely. We came to know what was written in the Garden of Eden. We didn't know. Moses wrote it. Moses knew it. It's not been known until Brother Abraham came here and told us what it was. It's come here. That is what is going to introduce
Praise be to God. The 144 to the atonement, which is the fullness of Jesus Christ here again on earth. Praise be to God. God called these prophets, okay, and out of the Jewish bunch, that says, okay, 144,000. God will call by these prophets. What is it? The spirit of Elijah of his Gentile church. We just continue right on into that Jewish church. Go right on and call Moses with him. Hallelujah. You see, his congregation says amen. And he will preach the same message of Pentecost. What was Pentecost? Pentecost was introduction. Pentecost was, what was it? Trim your lamps. Trim your lamps. He's coming. He's coming. Trim your lamps. That is right. Be ready. Be ready. Be ready. He's coming. He's just about to come. The one who refuses is coming. The one who refuses is coming. And now the Bible is put before them, which is him again. Which is him again is put before them. And they see by the Bible that they really, he was a Messiah that they refused. They are the ones. And that's why they start crying. Oh, we killed him. We killed him. And they start crying, oh, we killed him. And they'll cry and go to him. Praise be to God. That is what introduces you to another thing. Let me say this. Okay, but I don't have time. Let me just continue. he's just coming and he's refusing to go. Okay, but let's just brush it aside. He will preach the same message, Pentecost, to those Jews. And they rejected the Messiah. Brother Brown knocked on the pulpit 6 times. Amen. You see it? Amen. It will be the same Pentecostal message that these Jews will preach right over to them. It's the same thing. Now, let me read the Feast of Trumpets. In Revelation 11, call their ministry, you will be the ministry of Moses and Elijah, according to Israel, out of the Jewish traditions. Just the seventh messenger called the bride out of the Pentecostal tradition. Remember, Moses and Elijah is to call Israel out of the old atonement of the lamb and sheep and blood. And God, that's why Moses is there. All goats and sacrifice. To the real living, that's why the Old Testament is there. To the real sacrifice, to the word. He says, and the seventh angel message under the same trumpet was a trumpet. What trumpet? What did you say what trumpet is? At the same trumpet is Brother Branham. It's the seventh angel. That's the trumpeting angel. That's the trumpeting angel. At the same trumpet, in other words, what's the trumpet? The trumpet is the gospel trumpet. You know, when people talk about trumpet, they think it's just something. No. What happens? You read something called, I preached in Kenya, something called the plan of it. What happens? In heaven, heaven opens. A seal is opened. What is a seal? A seal is a mystery. A seal opens in heaven. When a seal opens in heaven, it drops to a man here on earth that God has chosen, the messenger of the age. Now that messenger of the age takes that and he trumpets. The trumpets denote war. Why? Because it's against what people believed. It's always something new. If he brings something old, that's not new. That is not God. Is that old ecclesiastical voice is not God. It must be a new something that has come. So it comes from heaven. It comes to the prophet. The prophet trumpets it. When he trumpets it, he declares war. Now all the people who agrees with that prophet of that age, they are sealed. They are sealed. What's a seal? A seal means completed. They are completed. They are completed. God, they are gods. They are owned by God. And they're not going, their destination is sure. That is what a seal means. Their destination is sure. They're going to have the second resurrection. They're going to live with God. That's all. If they die, that's okay. If they don't die, they are sealed already. They go. What happens here on earth? A plague falls. A plague falls. For the people who refused, a plague falls on the people who refused that prophet. And another age opens and it goes on like that. So what is a trumpet? A trumpet is simply, that's why the prophet was told, you preach that supernaturally. When you say a trumpet, every time a seal happens, there's a message, there's a trumpet that sounds like that. So those trumpets had sounded. Those trumpets had sounded. Now he wants to preach them again. They sounded and finished. Now is the time. Is the time for him. For him thundering. For him talking. What's a ladder, by the way? What's a ladder? What's a ladder? A ladder is a voice of God. It's God talking. And God, a ladder is not going to anybody else. It's not our trumpet. A ladder does not go nowhere else. We don't have trumpets. We don't even have a piece of trumpets. We don't have nothing. We have ladders.
Zada is a voice that goes from the mouth of God to the heart. Listen, to the heart. And that's what we're going to hear. It doesn't go. It goes to the heart. You cannot even sometimes explain. To the heart of the member of the branch. You have it. You even don't. Sometimes you don't even know. You cannot even explain it. But you know you heard it. You know it. You know it's here. It's a voice. It's an explainable. You cannot explain it. It's a ladder. It's a voice of your husband. All right. So the people, the bride with the Pentecostal. Okay. So that trumpet. And the same trumpet. Same everything exactly. The same seal. It's to what? Call the people, the bride out of the Pentecostal and world to the genuine atonement, the word. Christ, where are they being gotten to? Look here, word. Christ impersonated in his own word. Okay, we go. Let me jump and finish here. Let me read the last one. This is the last one. I know I've taken a bit of time. When religious spirit comes upon the man, it is in the fifth seal. It's there, but I just forgot. When the spirit of Elijah comes upon the man, it will drive him just like Elijah. He will go to the wilderness. He will have the wilderness. He will be the hater of immoral women. He will be against the organization. He will pull no punches to nobody. And that will be his spirit. It was each time it comes in. Moses will be the same person. In other words, Elijah and Moses is the same person. Elijah and Moses is the same person. Now, and we find out Revelation 28:8, the same thing. What is Revelation 28:20-8? What is that? I think people know that. That is the seventh angel message. Or that is the seventh angel. Do you know that? Revelation 22:8 is that angel who was going to bow before, or who John was going to bow before. And that is Brother Branham. That's the seventh angel. The seventh angel is the one who was to reveal all things. John had to hear it from that angel. Nobody was mandated in the Bible, in the message. Nobody is mandated in the economy of God to bring those mysteries. But the seventh angel was the one who was mandated. God does not break his word. For John to hear it, Brother Branham had to go there. Or John had to come here. That's a bit interesting. Eh? John had to come. The Bible said John was taken to the Lord's Day, where these mysteries were being revealed by William Martin Branham. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the liberation. Thank you for the way you talk, Lord. Sometimes you talk in a manner, Father, that it gets simple, it gets clear a bit, even to me, Father, than maybe before I stood before the people here. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for the way you, thank you for your love, Lord. You love us so much, Lord. You care for us, Lord. Me as a father and a poor father, I care whether my children are eating or not eating the natural food. And Lord, I want the best for them. And Lord, I'm a poor father. You are perfect. You are the perfect father. And you take care of us, Lord. How we humble ourselves before you. When we realize, Lord, that everything you do, even when we are suffering, Lord, everything you do is for our good. Everything you do is that you want good to come out of it to us, Father. That's why you said all things work together for good. Lord, we are so happy. We love you, Father. Sometimes we are not able to express, but Lord, we love you. We want you. We want to serve you. We want to surrender ourselves to you, Lord. Help us. Now we give ourselves to you, Lord. I know there are players here. I know there's Mike, Lord, that needs prayers, Lord. I don't know what to do when it hits me hard, Lord. But Lord, this is the time, the Lord, you've come to prove that
all things are possible, Lord. Now, we pray, Father, that you take everything, Lord, that will not bring us to that. Take it away, Lord. Take it away from me, that I have enough faith, Father, to talk to you about the boy and about anything else in our midst that we need, Lord. Father, we commit it to you. We commit it to you, Lord. We believe that you care. We believe that, Lord, you love us, Lord. And if you didn't, you would not have brought us this far that you've done. It's your hand, it's your mercy, it's your grace, Lord. How we love it, Lord. How we desire to get closer to you. How we desire that you get our hearts, Lord, and lead us. We have ourselves before you, Father. Take charge, take over, Father, in our lives and lead us to whoever, Father, that you know is best for us. In all things, we give glory and honor to your name. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Before I finish, I would like to request that I don't know, but I request that there's a boy, his name is Mike, he's my nephew, and I think he needs your prayer, so I would request that you remember him with me as we continue in this life. Just remember him. Whenever you are making your prayer before God, just remember him. Just mention his name. His name is Mike. Just remember him before the Lord. I believe that all things are possible. I believe it. So Michael's mother is still there. We are still committing them to the Lord. I don't know what the Lord wants. Sometimes the Lord don't talk to us. I don't know. And we'd like to be talked to. But if we go to him more, at least there will be something in your heart, that a comfort or whatever it is. Whatever it is, I'll tell you, just I'm going to go on with this, I want this. He's not a... What do you call people who don't see a dumb? Dumb, who don't hear, who don't talk. God is not dumb. God talks. God talks, God hears. That's the kind of God we talk to. And he's able. He's more than able, brothers. What we need to do is to clean ourselves. Now, I would like to ask a question as I now move from this pulpit. Who has... If there's a failure somewhere, is it God who has failed or is it us? It's us, brothers. We don't clean ourselves right. We have so much things in our lives that need to be cleansed. We go before him carrying things on our shoulders. Brother, let's take everything away. If you have something against a brother, clean it up. If you have against things, clean it up. You know... He compared dove with the lamb. He said, "The lamb lands on the dove lands on the lamb." He said, "As soon as that lamb start becoming like a wolf, the dove takes off." That's exactly right. God, you will never come. It's us. Let me say simply, it's us. Who are failing? It's not God. God never fails. God never fails. He's never even late. He is always at the right time. It's us. We got to check ourselves. We got to come to a place where we clean our lives. But we got to clean our lives if we want the. Now we become quote people. Quotes are good. I love quotes. I love quotes. I read very much. I love quotes. We've become. Where is the life of this quote? Where is this life of this quote? I want the life of this quote in me. I want that God of the quotes to be me. I want that. That's what I want. I want the quotes very much, but I don't want quotes like papers. I want those quotes, the life of that. And I don't want to, another thing, I don't want to encourage myself that I have it when I don't have it. I want to say God talk to me when he's not talking to me. I don't want that. I want to go somewhere and talk to God and be sure that he talks back to me. If he doesn't, then something is not right. I'm not going to pretend something is not right. And something is not right with him. Something is not wrong with him. Something is wrong with me. I've got to go back and check myself. I feel like praying again. I'm not going to pray again. May God bless you. Can somebody come and finish for us, or do we just finish?
Praise the Lord. Man, we appreciate the message this morning. And one thing I forgot to mention this morning, I sent out a text on the group that we wanted to help the brothers, the believers in at Theka, the convention there that they're having. And so if anybody would like to donate anything toward that, we're going to send them something. And so you can do that. And so we want to remember them. They have a real good turnout. They're having really good services. They started yesterday. They'll go through tomorrow. And it's a strain for them when a group comes in because they're trying to put them up. They're trying to feed them. And the Lord's blessed us so much materially here. It's a lot harder in those countries. And so we just want to support them however we can. And so I'd like for, once again, I want to say we appreciate everyone coming. It's so good to see each one. And we're looking forward to having some fellowship around some food. And I'd like to ask Brother Chris if he'll come around and dismiss us in prayer this morning. If you'd like to say something, we'd be glad to hear him give us a word or two.
Good to see y'all. All of you. Bless you. Brother Gunbutt could have just took Zechariah 14 and kept right on going. Because there's a lot in there. So we appreciate it. Appreciate each one of you. And y'all know the situation with Jacob's son. So I want y'all to be remembering.
We haven't been updated in quite a while. Could you update us?
They said that he did have the, what is it called? Muscular dystrophy in a certain kind. But, yeah, and some other markers that concerned Jake. But, they have to put a label and a name on everything. It makes them less afraid of it. But they're just whistling. The scientist is who I'm talking about. They're just whistling in the graveyard. They don't know the same God. They don't know any God at all, except their science. That's their God.
Amen.
They pour themselves into their science every day. They go worship at the knowledge, altar of knowledge, every day. And so that's where they put all their faith, right there. But we don't put our faith there. At all. Brother Bram said that's what this whole civilization is built on, is on knowledge. And we don't live there at all. The sons of Seth, they were all farmers and sheep herders. They had no need for knowledge. They lived by faith. And that's how we live, by faith. And I want Jake, Kaylee, I want them all to live by faith. Amen. Elijah, each one. People don't realize when they're born in this world, they're born with that disease. Like Brother Gumba said, that person had never heard that Jesus rose from the dead. In a country that calls itself a Christian country. And one that just not the other day, they said that more than half does not believe in God. More than half. Questions, did he even exist? From a country who they come here for that.
Amen.
Amen.
But God, in the midst of the darkness, as Brother Gumba had said, in the midst of the darkness, God has shined a light so bright.
That's right.
that it went right straight through all that disease that we were born in. Just like that little woman at the well, Brother Keenan put a quote out the other day where she come up. And Brother Branham said, right down through all of that sin went that testimony of Jesus Christ standing in front of her. It went all the way, the word made manifest, went all the way down and struck that seed in her, and the seed spoke back. Amen. The seed spoke back. The sin had no choice. The seed spoke back. Amen. And so when you hear this message and you think, that's the prophet, that's absolutely the truth. Who is that speaking back? Because the sin couldn't speak back. The disease that we're born in couldn't speak back. But what spoke back? God. Amen. had made it so that you would become the sons of God. That you would recognize that. I didn't mean to get up here and preach out of Brother Good. But that stirred that. And now what are you in this day? When the churches are blacked out and God's only place is in his people, then what are you? When God is manifesting in his children, that Christ, the same Christ that was manifest there at the well, the feminine part of her, him, manifest before the people, now what's it going to do? It's going to do the same thing. It has done the same thing. There's a room full of people here that testifies that it has done the same thing. And it didn't go off the scene with Brother Branham. It's still in the hearts of his people. It lives every day and it walks up and down the streets of this world. And it's not in the big churches. Brother Goom said it's blacked out. But he's still here. Mercy's still here in the hearts of his people. And it's so pleasing to me. It's so joyful to me to know that God has still got his light. He's still shining his light. And there's no grayness about it. It's a bright light. And so I thank him for it. I thank him for every last word that he gives us. Amen. For every last word he makes alive. See? You are the living word of God. As Brother Goombo was talking about Moses and Elijah, he also said Moses and Elijah represented the bride that had already passed away and was resurrected, and the bride that was here. Talk about a showdown. The showdown is here, brother and sister. The true word of God is here. And it is showing a light. Brother Ram said he was going to take her and he was going to take off with her. He was going to go with her, the bride. And away he'll go with her, he said. That's what he's doing. He's going away with her. So, just be thankful. So thankful. Go meet him when you get up in the morning. Don't go pray because it's the morning and you're supposed to go pray. Run to meet him in the morning. We were reading that scripture in the service the other day where he was talking about those servants in the Bible. They stood by the door and they waited for the master to come home so that the first little knock, they could pull the door open and greet him. They didn't have to be off somewhere in the house like Brother Goom was talking about. Got off so much else to do. They weren't far off in the house. They had to come running when they heard a knock. They were standing by the door listening for the knock. That's the children of God today. That's where he's at. Let's stand and let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for your word, Lord. We're so thankful for those that will give themselves to it, Lord. Will be like those servants, Lord, that they respect the master, the word, so much, Lord, that they wait by the door to hear the slightest knock so that they might open it and greet him. Lord, may we greet your word that way. The prophet said it would have to be that way in this day, Lord. And we see that in the hearts of your people. And we thank you for it. We pray you'll bless our little gathering today, Lord, and our fellowship. We ask it now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.